I wonder just how many of us, looking at that account from Luke's Gospel, see it as an expression of the love of Jesus. Because when you get talk about fire and division, it makes you sound quite angry, doesn't it? Angry and forceful. And certainly that is one particular way that I have interpreted that text for many, many years. I've always seen it as that. But just very recently, I've had it speaking to me in a very different way. I'll just share that with you this morning. Let's deal with what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not saying that I have come to deliberately cause trouble. Jesus is not saying, I have come to deliberately bring division to families. But what he is saying is that if you trust in me as your saviour, if you trust in me and live your life with me and receive all that promise and hope and forgiveness and freedom and life and power, as you receive that, there will be people who disagree. There will be opposition. Essentially, this piece is a piece about choices. And we all make choices, don't we? We all make them, thousands of them every day. There's an American professor of psychology called Joel Humans who's written a paper on it, and he estimates that the average adult will make over 35,000 different decisions every day. And that's not 24 hours, is it? Because you're probably going to spend 7 or 8 of them asleep anyway. That's probably the last decision you make. I'm going to go to sleep. All those decisions that we make. And every single one of those decisions has a consequence, doesn't it? And we would like, wouldn't we, for all our decisions to have a positive outcome, a positive consequence. Jesus is saying here that when you make a decision for me, a decision for life, as he says in John's Gospel, in all its fullness, many will disagree with the lifestyle choice that you enter into. Many will disagree with the freedom that you start to live your life in and live through with Christ. But the rewards, the treasure that is there for us now as well as beyond now, Jesus takes us to a point where we need to remind ourselves about decisions. And we can only enter into that complete freedom when we give ourselves completely to him. The security of heaven isn't gained through sitting on the fence. You know, longing for that place and that security in heaven whilst living out our lives according to the world's way. Because Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we are called to be different. And we are meant to make a difference. And as we do both of those things, there will be people who disagree. And there will be division as a consequence. I love the Message translation of these opening verses. Let me share that with you. Jesus speaking, I have come to start a fire on this earth, and how I wish it were blazing right now. I have come to change everything, to turn everything the right side up. And how I long for it to be finished. I love that, to turn everything the right side up. to kind of press restart, to take the world back to what it was intended to be like. Our restored relationship with God, restored and renewed relationships with one another, because of what Christ, for us, has done, then was going to do. The other thing that sprung out on me this week, Jesus knows where he's heading. He knows his mission. He knows his ministry. He knows what he's going to do. And he's calling for, oh, I wish it was done. I wish it was over. But he's not saying that for himself. He's saying it for us. He's not saying, I wish this baptism fire was all over and done with so I can go back to be with my Father and everything's going to be like it was. He's saying it for us. Because if it was over, then all the struggle that you are all facing on a daily basis is dealt with. He's not wanting to delay the freedom that he's going to bring to mankind, to the world. He doesn't want to delay it one moment longer. But he knows he's not, that's in the Father's hands. And in the meantime, he's still got to work and walk this path. Such love in there. Now, the Jews understood the image of fire. And they knew that when someone starts to talk about fire, it's to do with judgment. So Jesus always knew what he was saying and how he put words together to get attention. The Jews had a very particular view and approach to judgment. As a chosen race, as chosen people, God was going to deal with them in a completely different way to how he was going to deal with everybody else. A different set of rules for the Jewish nation than any other one. But Jesus' message subverts that completely. Turns it on its head. Here's the reality. No one can stand before God's judgment and survive it. There's nothing we can do in our own strength. There's nothing that we can say in our own strength that will make us clean enough, righteous enough, holy enough to survive the judgment of God. And world religions over have come up with different systems to try and help their followers to get as close as they possibly can. To be able to say, oh, I think I'm almost there. I think I might have just crossed the line. But even the most ardent follower of any of the world religions will still have their fingers crossed. Because there is no absolute guarantee of that outside of Christ. So that message disturbs people. It upsets people. It upset the religious leaders of the day that Jesus was saying it. And it upsets people who are very religious now. And by that I mean people who are seeking to follow a set of rules and trying to do things in their own strength to get right with God. We won't. Christianity is the only statement that says God reached down to us and we therefore need to respond to him and accept him as our saviour, and that changes everything. But because it changes everything, there will be opposition. It comes as a natural consequence, if you like, of that life-giving decision that we are called to make. I love the quotes that the American Christian actor Denzel Washington comes out with. Just Google it. And he comes up with all kinds of stuff. This one has always stayed with me. This is Denzel saying, some people will never like you because your spirit irritates their demons. That's so good, I'll say it again. Some people will never like you because your spirit irritates their demons. Once we are in Christ, there is a human response to us. But oh boy, understand, there is a greater spiritual response because the enemy has lost one. There's a wonderful song by the Christian songwriter Godfrey Bertel. It says, I've stepped over the line, a decision's been made. No turning back. Everything changes. Everything changes. So talking with Steph this morning about how people receive this text, she said she was reading it to a family and they were discussing it round. And one of the responses, well, this is gentle Jesus saying this stuff. The Prince of Peace, gentle Jesus, often stated, isn't he? Is stating clearly here, as he always does, stating clearly, nothing must come between us and the will of God for our lives. Nothing. Guard it, fight for it. Once we've done it, we are secured. There is no need, as Archbishop Justin Welby says, to say the Lord's Prayer with your fingers crossed. Salvation is secured. That's it. Whoa. But there will be opposition. He says, look, straighten out your priorities. But the other thing is there's a time imperative to that. So straighten out your priorities and you better get on with it. And just preceding this, there's been other examples of that and other illustrations in Jesus' teaching. We only have this lifetime to make this decision. You know, there are some things in life that we can put off, aren't there? That we can delay over. But I would strongly suggest to you that making peace with God isn't one of them. We need to get on with it. And we need to encourage people in love and grace by sharing our testimony. Like Peter says in that first letter, he says, always be prepared to share what you know and what you have received in gentleness and with grace. But the people know, because this is so important. And to close, Jesus says, look, you are smart, you lot. You know how to interpret things because you know that when the wind blows in that direction, you're going to get rain. And you know that when it blows in this direction, it's going to be hot. And so you make decisions over that. And you plan your day and you plan your week or whatever according to that. He says, but you are blind. How come you can be so smart about that and yet so blind about the spiritual truths that are right in front of your face? And it's the same today, isn't it? Boy, are we smart. We can send telescopes out into deep space to look back into the history of time, for goodness sake, and see those photographs that come from it. We can land robots on Mars. We can smash particles together in a Hadron Collider and discover dark matter and stuff. And yet, the spiritual truths that are in front of people about the difference between good and evil are getting silenced, pushed to one side. Making a decision for Christ changes everything. And yet people try to belittle it. They try to silence it. They try to defy it. They try to say it doesn't exist. And the 2.5 billion people who will be worshipping like us today, you're all nutters. They try and silence it. Go back to the reading in Jeremiah. They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another. Let's not fall into that. And let's remind ourselves, as Christ is doing here, about the importance of that decision, but know the consequences. Making a decision for Christ liberates everything, changes everything, secures everything, forgives everything. And here's the bit that people don't like. Demands everything. So take a moment now. Let's think about the priorities that Jesus is reminding us of there. What are my priorities? What are your priorities today? Where does the Lord fit into all of that? How does my decision for Christ affect the way I live today? The conversations I have had, I will have today. How does it influence the invitations that I might give to others, or the sharing of what I know with others? And ultimately, do I love someone enough to see the importance of them knowing and discovering what we know and have discovered about Christ? Just as we ponder over those things, I'm going to invite Steph up now to lead us in a time of prayer together. Thanks, Steph.